you know, basically set that up, put food out there, and we'll do play-by-play on people thinking they're being sly.
Wow. And, you can do it. You can do it coming up at Halloween. If you leave a big bowl out there and, you know, you get some kid that gets a little bit overzealous. I've done that before. You tell them on the camera, knock it off.
What do you think the max is? Three?
Well, I think you can give yourself a generous handful. Like, but don't be an idiot. Like, I watched an idiot, like, try and dump the bowl into his little potato sack or whatever, and I made him put it back. Like, he could have some, but he couldn't have it all.
It's a dangerous game, though. Like, we're all Curb Your Enthusiasm fans, and it's an all-time great episode when the teenagers show up at his house, at Larry's house, and they're not in costume, and he takes that personally. And he's like, you're not anything. You can't just show up and ask for candy. Like, we're living in a society here. You have to be someone. And then they come back, and they toilet paper his house and egg his house. And Cheryl, his wife, is like, what are you doing? Just give them the candy. Who cares? And I think you're risking that, Noodles. Like, you're trying to hold some standards and you're trying to keep people accountable. But those kids, I know if I was 12 or 13 and some guy was like, hey, knock it off, I'd be like, okay, you'll be asleep in 2 hours, pal. Just wait until I come back. I'm circling that house. And you're going to get yours someday, Noodles. So basically what I'm saying is have no integrity. No values. Let people take advantage of you, and your house will be okay.
That's fine. I get it, but I'm just. I think there's a layer of respect that goes both ways.
It should.
And
the Halloween code.
Exactly, and that falls on the parents. If they're raising a loser, then the kid's being a loser. And that's my ultimately. I think everything falls back on the parents. Like
it does in a lot of ways. If you're that ungrateful, or if you're just going out there and trying to take everything, and you know there's other people coming, then
you would hope
that kid would have a better constitution kind of built into them via the parents. But
I agree, and I don't even know what's going on. Have we clarified? Like, there's no Halloween, right?
No, there is Halloween. There's going to be Halloween. It's just it depends on what region you're in. So if you're in Toronto or Peel or Ottawa, the suggestion is that you don't have Halloween. I don't know what suggestions people are adhering to now and not adhering to now. I mean, we're in a very different world today than we were 7 months ago. And people's panic levels and paranoia and anxiety, I think, have adjusted drastically. So I would assume Halloween is still happening in large portions of the province and the country. But like any other year, if you don't want to partake, then you don't partake. That's fine, too. You don't have to. You turn your lights off. You hang out in the basement for a few hours, and it'll blow over.
What do you think of the lights off move?
The lights off move?
Yeah.
Oh, we've all done it. Like, when I was younger, no one was coming to my door, like creepy middle-aged guy.
You know, his underwear standing there.
With no pumpkins, nothing. Like, no one's coming.
People are scared of your house. You know what? Like, they saw the traffic of the casino at 3 o'clock in the morning. They're like, I'm not going near that house.
Yeah, there's no way. I saw some guy sleep on the curb last night. He was in his house playing cards. I'm not knocking on that door. No chance. Yeah, I know. I think it's, you know, there's the weird position to be in. And Jonas, you're not in this spot yet because you don't have kids.
Right.
And are you still in like a condo apartment, or do you live in a?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So apartments and condos, I think, are working on a different kind of rules, and I'm not sure how that really works. I have lived in apartments before. I've never had any kid knock on my door.
Never has not happened.
No, but if you're taking part, when do you pull the chute? You know what I mean? Like, at what point do you say, all right, the lights are off? Because every year we've been out here, I've lived in this house for a number of years, we have turned off the lights, and invariably, within 20 minutes, someone else is still going to knock on the door. You know, like, because we have the, you know, different things up outside. We get the pumpkins going. We've got the decorations. So, like, it's like kids are walking by. They know this house was doing something. Right. And they're just like, I don't care if you turn your lights on. I'm knocking on the door. And then I end up going up. I'm like, so what was the point? I might as well leave the lights on if I'm going to go back out anyway.
Yeah.
Anyway, here's our TSN Hockey Insider, Darren Dreger. Dregs, your kids are older now. They're not into the Halloween thing. Are you still Halloween guy, or do you shut the lights off and say I'm not doing it?
No, I would never do that. Now, in healthier times, you know, I could have been traveling, and my wife is busy working or whatever, and there have been years where she's raced home and put like a pail of candy at the, you know, the edge of the driveway with a note saying, sorry, we can't, you know, we're not home. But we also just moved. And in the court that we were living in up until recently, believe it or not, we'd maybe get 10, 15 kids. So you almost, you wanted more, you know? Now the street that we're living on, I got a funny feeling it's going to, well, again, in normal times, we'd probably get 100 to 200 kids. And I enjoy that. I have no problem with that. If it wasn't COVID-19 and I were home, I wouldn't be the goofy 50-some-year-old who goes out of his way to put on some creepy costume and be part of the shenanigans. I'm not doing that, but
no.
I'd be definitely there to shell out, absolutely. But we're actually having conversations about this, as is the rest of the world, obviously, but I still don't know what the hell we're supposed to do.
No,
I don't know what we're supposed to do.
No one really knows. Like, that's it. Like, Noodles just posed that question. Like, so is Halloween on or canceled? And no one really knows.
I don't know.
I think it's on individual communities and, you know, people you trust. And something's going to have to give here. Kids are going to want to go. And I think they should be able to pull this off in some capacity. But, you know, it's a weird year.
Holly's idea is to, you know, buy full-size chocolate bars and just, you know, put them on a table at the end of the driveway. And I'm like, yeah, I mean, it's a good idea, but 4- and 5-year-olds are maybe going to get 3 of those. And
then the 13
and the 14-year-olds are coming. And as soon as word breaks that full chocolate bars to this address, forget it, Halloween's over.
Yeah, and no one's watching. There's no security. They're just sitting there. Like, you might get a parent walk by and say, I'm just taking these.
Especially if there's always parents that are booze bags dragging around a wagon full of booze to pour for everyone. Yeah. And, you know,
and
they will be
Saturday
dipping
this year, Noodles. Like, if this was a normal year, it'd be outrageous.
So exactly. What are you getting from Jonas? If you knock on Jonas's door, are you getting sugarless gum or, like, what are you getting?
Carrots. You're getting rabbit food.
Well, I was going to ask you guys, what is, like, I would give good stuff, but what is, like, the worst thing that you used to get when you were a kid? For me, it was, like, I hated Glossettes. I was just like, please, just keep those. I don't need those.
Yeah, Glossettes were a reach.
Wow, there was... You know what, boss? There was a dentist on our block who gave out Crest and a toothbrush.
That was so gutless. We get it. You're a dentist. Like, you know, just relax.
Yeah,
Nothing worse.
We used to get an apple, which, I mean, come on. It's the one day of the year where you have to just allow the kids to eat some sugar, right? And worse than just getting an apple is the bruised, beat up apple. It's like they forgot Halloween was coming up and they're panicking. They've got nothing. Oh, there's some month old apples that we haven't got to yet, so let's try those on for size. Yeah. And, you know, I grew up in a small town, so you weren't worried about the razor blades or any of the nonsense in the apples. But I do recall back in the day hearing about that kind of stuff where idiots would park pins in fruit and things like that. So the Halloween fruit, that was coming back at the house.
It wasn't lasting in the bag
yards.
Too long.
Yeah.
Yeah, that thing wasn't going to stick around, and it was definitely not getting eaten at any point.
No.
Darren Dreger, a TSN Hockey Insider. So we've been talking about the Chicago Blackhawks letter the past couple of days and how they're trying to be transparent and honest with the media and honest with their fan base and I guess with their own players, and they've got a few there that are future Hall of Famers that are going to have their numbers retired, and we know who that is, Taves, Kane, and Keith in particular, but they've all got, you know, still some years on their deals, big tickets. Taves and Kane are at 10.5. I think Keith is at about 5.5. My understanding is that Chicago did not send that out with the intention of trying to push them out the door. But what happens here? Like, might that end up happening? Would Chicago prefer these guys want to move on? And do you think these players are willing to just chew on this rebuild, quote-unquote, for the next 2 or 3 years?
Well, I don't know how you can fully embrace a rebuild and have 3 players like that making that much money on your payroll moving forward. But I will say this. You know, Chicago to me is somewhat like New York and the New York Rangers, in that Chicago has developed over time because of Stanley Cup championships. into a destination of choice for players, right? So I wouldn't be surprised if they don't rip off the Rangers model entirely. I mean, they started with a letter to the fan base, right? To say, here's what we're doing. We want to be transparent. But the New York Rangers then quickly jumped back into the pool when Artemi Panarin made it clear that he wanted to sign as an unrestricted free agent. And now your renovation goes into super mode, right? And it, or your rebuild turns into a renovation, and it becomes less taxing. But again, to make a comparison to the New York Rangers, the one guy left behind was Henrik Lundqvist, by his own design. Henrik was okay with the rebuild. He wanted to be a New York Ranger moving forward. Then in comes Georgiev and Shesterkin, and he's on the outside of the crease looking in, trying to get back in, and can't get back in, and he doesn't like it. So you fast forward, and there's no meaningful trade interest in Henrik Lundqvist, a legendary New York Ranger, and they've got no choice but to buy him out. That is not what the New York Rangers wanted to have to do to Henrik Lundqvist, by any stretch of the imagination. So we just got through that. So I'm not saying that that's where Kane and Taves are headed for, but Duncan Keith is the elder statesman of that group. He's going to be the first to feel the impact in whatever fashion it is. And it seems likely that he's not going to want to be in for 3-4 years, whatever it is, of pain and suffering, if that's the design of Stan Bowman and the Chicago Blackhawks. So this is a story that, you know, we're going to have to watch, I would say, pretty closely month by month.
Dregs, we were talking earlier about, you know, the marketplace, and we were talking about length of contracts and everything with free agency. But, you know, you look at a guy like Mike Hoffman, for example, that's still out there. You know, are you getting any sense from managers or people that you talk to in hockey that it's a quiet time, or either the market is just so dry? Like, are teams taking a pause to kind of reflect to see what they have and maybe throw a, I don't know, a Hail Mary offer to a couple players that are still out there? Like, you might end up getting pennies on the dollar for a guy.
You could, but I think it is a lull. And, you know, I think that the market has gone flat here, but some of that can be focused on arbitration cases and what's going on beyond free agency. But, you know, teams are still looking for steals. You know, they're not looking for good contracts and deals. They're looking for flat-out steals. And, you know, some of the contracts that are being offered to qualified and veteran players is disturbing. It's shocking. And that is an indication that there isn't a lot of money left. So when I see somebody like Mike Hoffman, you know, dig in, and his representation dig in the way they have, I like it. I mean, this guy's what is he average? 28 goals a year for how many years now? He can put the puck in the net. You know, he's got an inviting shot. There are lots of teams that can vision Mike Hoffman helping their offense, no doubt about that. He's just not willing to do it yet for 1 year at a fraction of the money that he's made to this point of his career. He might end up getting a 1 year, or taking, more importantly, a 1 year, but he's playing a game of NHL chicken. That's what he's doing, and he's counting on the teams that have expressed interest, and there are a number of teams that have expressed interest, but they've done it with a caveat and saying that we like you and we'll come back. We'd like to sign you, but we've got to move money first. And they haven't been able to do that because the teams with interest in the contracts that they're trying to move have to move out other pieces to make room for that. Right. So that's kind of the vacuum that the system seems to be in right now. But I admire the position of Mike Hoffman, man. It's a bold one. You know, he could have buckled like so many other players have and just said, hey, I'm going to hit a reset button. I'm going to take my 1 year. I'm going to take a fraction of what I've earned to this point. But I'm hoping that, you know, the world is better, the league is healthier financially, and I'll hit the home run next year.
Well, I agree with that, but that doesn't mean it's going to be there for him.
No, right? You're right.
Like in a month, right, he may still be out there, and then it's like, okay, great, you gambled on yourself, but you lost, I guess.
I don't know. I hear you, Brian, but somebody's going to – I don't know what the magic number is, in fairness to him. I don't think that he believes – you know, you can't be that naive and look around the National Hockey League and see the players that have, you know, you think Tyler Toffoli is happy with the deal that he got in Montreal. And comparatively speaking, it's a pretty good deal, but it's probably far less than what he was thinking he was going to get starting last season, right? So I feel like there's going to be a team that steps up, but I want to qualify what I mean when I say step up. It still could be a 1 year, but maybe it's $3 million instead of $5.5 million, something like that. Right. I don't know what the number is, but
Sorry, Drex. All I can think of is when you're thinking of Hoffman, I think of Dadonov's deal and start there. So 3 years at $5 million a year for Dadonov, I think Hoffman easily could be 3 years at $5.5 million or something like that. But he may have, to your point, he may have to take a 1 year deal at a lower number and go back at this again next summer just based on the marketplace.
Yeah, I have another good year. You know, just prove that his numbers are as consistent as they've read for the last number of years. But he's dug in for a reason. You know, if he wasn't getting any sniffs, then chances are, you know, he'd have signed by now. He'd have just grabbed hold of something. But he hasn't yet. So there must be enough teams out there who are willing to give him close to what he wants that the wait is going to be worth it.
Well, and what also is kind of interesting about the offseason is, and this applies with every free agent, some of them just want the money, and I get that. Like, I totally get it. You just want the money. It's your big payday, whatever team is willing to pay you the most. But a lot of guys also would like to go to a good situation, to go to a winning team. Oh. And how many of those winning teams have even had opportunities? Like, Vegas is a winning team, but the best player went there, Petrangelo. Right. They didn't take some guy in the middle of the pack. The best guy went there. Colorado has not really done much. Dallas has not really done much. What's that?
Colorado got Saad and Taves. They did pretty
well. They made trades. Those are trades.
Yeah,
but
they made trades.
Right. Yes, they have made some moves, but I'm talking about like big spending. Tampa cannot do anything, right? Boston has not really done anything. The best teams have not really done much here.
No. Right. And you keep waiting for Tampa Bay, right?
Right.
Because they're going in the opposite direction, trying to move out money. They've signed players that they haven't officially announced yet. You know, but it's bizarre. And then, but to your point, Brian, I look at two former Leafs who did exactly what you've said. You know, Tyson Barrie was offered north of $5 million from Vancouver. He chooses Edmonton because he feels like that's his best chance to profile himself, right? To play at his pure strength. You know, he wants to quarterback a very good power play. He gets that chance in Edmonton. So they grind him down to 3.75 and he takes it. You know, on a 1 year, why not? And Cody Ceci, I mean, what was Cody last year? 4 or 5?
Yeah.
And, you know, he took it between the eyes in Toronto, fair enough. But he goes to a pretty good organization, I would say, in Pittsburgh at a fraction of what he was getting paid, but believes that that's his best chance, right? He'll be a third-pairing guy there, maybe creeps into the second-pairing on occasion, but it fits his game, the role that they need him to play, and maybe the money is there the year after that. So, you know, those are two good examples of players who have taken less, but the situation's right.
Well, Dregs, you mentioned Tampa. What do you think they're going to ultimately have to pay to get rid of one of those contracts? Like, is it going to be a first-round pick, a good prospect? Like, where does that end?
Well, you know what, Jonas? It has to be one of those things, doesn't it? You know, players like Tyler Johnson's a good player.
Yeah.
The players that they're willing to part with are good players.
Kalorn is good.
Yeah. They're good players.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, unfortunately for the Tampa Bay Lightning, and I don't blame Yzerman or Julian Brisebois for this, you know, they furnished them with no moves and no trades. I mean, you know, everybody was doing that. They don't mean a whole heck of a lot now, but nobody can take on a $5 million Tyler Johnson. So what do you do? Well, you've got to sweeten it. You know, if you're looking to make a hockey deal, that hockey deal is not going to happen. And the fact that nobody is talking about an offer sheet on Sergachev also tells you that, you know, there's discussion across the league to some degree. I'm not suggesting collusion by any sense. I think it's just common sense would tell you that the owners have suffered because of the pause and no fans and everything else.
Right.
So nobody wants to step up to the plate. But if you're not going to do that in today's environment with Tampa Bay absolutely on the floor waiting to get tapped out, then it's never going to happen. It's never going to happen. So, you know, if we assume that's not going to happen, then Julian's going to have to step up and say, all right, boys. And I will say this. Now, Tyler Johnson, of course, has the trade protection. He submitted, well, initially it was 5 teams. Then they bolstered that to 8. And I think it remains at 8, but he's made it known to management in Tampa Bay. Look, if you've got a team that's interested, that you're talking with, that isn't on this list, bring it back to me and we can have a conversation. So the player is also being very flexible here, which tells you that nobody wants the contract. So Breezeball for sure is going to have to pay a lot more to send that deal out.
Yikes. Well, wow. We'll see. I mean, we're a couple weeks in. There's more players out there. There's got to be a little bit more activity, you would think.
Yeah, let's hope. Let's hope.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, Drex, we'll leave it there. We'll do it again soon. Thank you, buddy.
All right, guys, have a good night.
Darren Dreger, TSN Hockey Insider.
It's interesting. I was sure. I don't know how you guys felt. When Tyler Johnson was on waivers, I was like, Detroit's going to grab him.
That's what I thought. Or Ottawa. Like, he's just your number one center right now.
Yeah. Stevie Yzerman maybe doing Breezeball a little, you know, backdoor favor. You can't do it, you know, can't trade for him in the no move clause and that. Put him on waivers, grab him on waivers. You just pay the waiver fee, right? And you take the 4 years at $5 million. You're in a rebuild. You can have him as your number one center to help young guys. Like, it just made too much sense. And then when he didn't claim him, I was like, okay, what's the thought process there? Because you don't put a guy on you don't put a guy on waivers without a purpose.
I was thinking, what, are they going to buy him out?
It's just like when you put something in the front of your house, like, just free. Just, you can have it.
Right.
Just help me get rid of it, please.
Yeah. Basically, it's there. It's still in good shape.
But you know what would be interesting is if some team, and we talked about the offer sheets before, if some team offer sheeted two of those guys, you would have to have the cap space, obviously, but you would put Tampa in a brutal position. Like, you remember, I think it was Chicago, San Jose with Hjalmarsson and Niemi, and they matched, I believe, on Hjalmarsson, but then San Jose got Niemi. I think that's how it worked.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I can't remember, but yeah, you're right. If you do multiple offer sheets, it really jams the situation up. But it sounds like, you know, it's almost like, and Dregs was crystal clear on his comments, he's not suggesting collusion, but it could be a wink-wink backdoor deal. Hey, like, let's not jam each other up here with COVID going on and all of that. But
they might have been in this position anyway, no? Like, even if the cap goes up a little, they still were going to be in tough, no?
Tampa was definitely going to be in tough. Like, even if the cap went up $4 million or something, that's some wiggle room. You know, that's Sergachev's going to get $4 million on his next deal. I think Sorelli will get $4 million or something, you know.
Right.
There's one of them locked in, but the other guy's still, something's got to give.
I wonder if you could just, I'm sure this has happened, where you call the manager up and say, I don't want to offer sheet him, trade him to me.
Yeah, like Phil here.
Right, like, you know, trade him for, you know, I'll give you exactly what the offer sheet is, you know, it's a first and a third or whatever it's going to be. I'll give you a first and a third and I'll throw in another sweetener because I don't want to do this. But, you know, that could be a scenario too, where, like, we're going to acquire Anthony Cirelli in a different way.
Right.
Instead of, you know, going behind, not behind the manager's back. This is the crazy part. It's in the CBA. You can do it. It's legal to do.
Well, actually, the way I would look at that is almost going around the player's back. Because the player, you got to remember, he's the one that's got to accept.
You got to sign it, correct.
Exactly. So if Cirelli, let's use Cirelli as an example. He's like, I'm not leaving Tampa. I love Tampa. I want a cup. I just bought a house. My girlfriend's from down, whatever. I don't know.
Yeah.
But they're like, well, actually, we kind of need you to sign that offer sheet in Ottawa. He's like, I'm not doing it. And it's like, okay, we're just going to trade you to Ottawa then.
Yeah.
Right.
And then, guess what? Ottawa's got your rights. You have to negotiate with them. You can't play anywhere else in the league unless you play for Ottawa.
Correct.
So that might end up, I wonder if that's the way it's actually going to play out one of them, where they're like, we have to trade you. You know, like, we would prefer the offer sheet and we'll just take the picks and say, oh, we wish. What can you do? But in fact, we have to move you.
With what Dregs is saying and just thinking about it, like, I still think this offseason is going to be crazy. Because, you know, Kyle said this, I think it was on a Zoom call. Jonas, you were on the Zoom call with Kyle the other day, and he said, you know, in essence, like, we're kind of done here. it wouldn't surprise me if there's a player that they kind of covet or have their eye on that just all of a sudden comes available for either a cheap price or they didn't expect them to be available, but a team is jammed up. And all of a sudden you make a move to improve your team. I know there's I've talked to managers that are like, yeah, you got your eye on a couple guys, and if that team's ready to move them, like, that's where you step in.
Are you talking like cheap guys, or you're talking like players?
Just, I'm giving an example, like Hayes just said, if Tampa makes the decision that, hey, we're going to have to trade Cirelli because we're just not going to be able to fit him in, you might not have thought he was going to be available on a trade market, you know?
Because you can never close the door on your off season.
You can't.
And that's
what
Dubas was saying. Dubas wasn't saying he's throwing his phone in the lake. And
I'm just saying, you know, I think he felt like he was comfortable with his off season, but it wouldn't surprise me if there's a player that's floating around out there that he covets that he might be in on where he thought he wasn't in on a month ago.
If you can improve your team at any time, you have to do it, right?
Yeah.
You have to look into it if the price is right. I totally agree with that.